Well, I know I speak for all of us. We really would like to thank the choir. It's always a joy to have special music, and that was incredibly special. The words are very meaningful on this day, and it is a day of great sounds. And that is the main topic of my sermon today, but I love the words in the first piece, you know, the workings of his mighty hand. And that is what we are looking forward to and we're experiencing in our lives. The working of God's mighty hand in our lives and in the world around us. Do you know the precision of Dr. Hoover, right? Do you notice and this? It reminds me of the precision at which God places and does things. You know, in your life and in mine, he chose, he opened the call, he opened the truth of God, and you began to respond and to believe. And Jesus says, blessed are those who believe. Brethren, we believed. And we are here on a Thursday afternoon, on the Day of Trumpets, because we seek to follow and to fear the great eternal one who works mighty wonders. It's a great opportunity to be with you. My message today about sounds, the sounds of God, it was inspired by an article that Mr. Randy Stiver wrote back in 2008. It was in Vertical Thought. It was called Trumpets, Trumpets, Trumpets. Everywhere are trumpets. I thought it was an incredible article. I thought he made his point very well. And so today my purpose is to remind us that the trumpet of God, that sound of judgment, that hope, that coronation moment, as we examine the sound of the horns, the trumpets of the Bible, especially those of this day, the Feast of Trumpets, we see comfort, we see encouragement, and we see energy, all that God intends for that sound to have for your life and mine. God's love, his promise to deliver us and mankind and all things to his Son, is sealed with signs. And a part of that sign is the sound of the trumpet of God. Before I begin today, I have a few technical thank yous to make. A technical thank you to Dr. Hoover. I've shared some of my thoughts about this message, and he provided me some reflections. It's always good to go to people who have an expertise in this field, and he'll help me in a moment with some of those, and I appreciate his thoughts. To Mr. Frowned, who always has the black box, I don't know whether you know that, but to get sound out of the computer and into an audio system, you have to have the black box. Now, it's not the one in an airplane, but it's the one that has MF on the side, Manfred Frowned. So you have to have the black box to get it into the PA system. And I also want to thank Dr. Carlick, who gave you the prayer today. He's down from Bakersfield. You know, Bakersfield has services today, I believe, in Clear and Fresno. So for them, it was a toss-up. It was, do they come here or go there? It's about half, six, one half dozen the other. So they chose to come here, and it's always great to have them. And he provided a few comments to me as well. This message is primarily for audible learners. Now, we tend to be a church of primarily audible learners, right? We come to church, we speak, and we get to read from the written word. So we use audible and reading. We use two of the major concepts of learning. Not often do we have a service where there are tactile opportunities. You know, we don't have crafts going on in the front row here. So we have to, you know, adjust things a moment. But that is something that I hope to bring the audio to a different level as we examine the sounds of the trumpet of God. This festival of trumpets, I am reminded, and the world around us, and here in Los Angeles, we're very cognizant of that with a very large Jewish community. And what's interesting to me is their explanation of Rosh Hashanah is the beginning of the civil year. And this is a true understanding. We're reminded, right, as I get into this, let's have a few introductory comments. The religious year begins in the spring, right, with Passover and unleavened bread. But in God's calendar, the civil year for the nation has long been held to begin here at trumpets. And isn't it interesting that God is bringing back a government to run the civil affairs and eventually, obviously, the religious affairs, but God has fashioned the return of his son of government around what has long been held to be the beginning of the civil year. And this is where the counting of Sabbaths are, the counting of sevens, the counting of the Jubilee, all extend from the Feast of Trumpets. Now, it's interesting in Jewish tradition that they hold and have held, as you know, those days go by when you don't have television, you know, and they're sitting around and they ruminated on how did things come to be? And one of those questions comes up, well, when did God create the world? You know, in which season of the year do we find the creation? What do we find the creation of man? It has long been their tradition, and it's an interesting one, that creation was in this season of the year. And in fact, some Jewish scholars would account and say that man was created on the Feast of Trumpets. Now, that is conjecture, but what is interesting, we know from the New Testament, Paul says what? There was the first Adam and the second Adam. And if the second Adam is Christ, and he's coming back to earth, does it make some logical sense? We don't have scripture to prove it, right? But it's an interesting connection. And the creation would have been the 5 days prior to the Feast of Trumpets. So we find ourselves in obviously an interesting and mindful season of the beginnings. The beginnings and, so to speak, the ends. Interestingly, obviously, we know in this season of the year Jesus was born. We know this from Scripture, and we can prove it as we would talk about that more intimately. Now, every year, these festivals permit you and me, believers of God, to connect our lives to not just the present, but history and to the future, which is prophetic. Prophecy is only history, as has been said, told in advance. Brethren, real lives, real people, bound together through thousands of years with the sound of trumpets. Let's see what the Bible says about the sounds of the trumpets and what they mean for us and all mankind. Leviticus 23, verse 24. Let's turn there. It says and commands to the people of God. Leviticus 23, verse 24. Picking up in verse 23. Of Leviticus 23, it says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, the Lord, the Eternal, spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. A memorial of the blowing of trumpets. There are many words here that we should stop and examine. For example, do we realize that through Scripture, we could have holy time? But what does God say back in Leviticus 23 and verse 2? Speak to the children of Israel and saying what? The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. What's interesting is God uses the word my feasts, feast, festivals, times of celebration. He uses them connected to holy time, and he has them connected to convocation. Brethren, we gather together because God says, you shall be together as you represent my feast. What? The symbolism to me is very rich, that God intends in the dispensation of time to have all of creation, all mankind, all those who will believe him together. We obviously could observe holy time by ourselves. We could be at your address and my address and other places. We can observe holy time by ourselves. But God says, my feasts are to be what? Convocations, times when we come together. I remember years ago, it was a lovely quote by Mr. Vernon Hargrove. He said, the feasts are the times where we what? We gather the family, we break the bread, and we tell the story. God has an incredible story of how he's going to do what seems to be impossibility. But I wanted to stop, and when I read the verse, holy convocation, remind us of why we come together, that it's God's desire for us to be together. Now, as we go back to verse 24, I want to talk about the memorial of the blowing of trumpets. Now, Dr. Hoover, if you could come up, we're going to explain the first three blasts, because first of all, this word trumpet in the Hebrew means a shofar. Now, it does not mean that throughout all of Scripture, and we'll get into that moment, but he has a shofar, which is what?
A ram's horn.
It's a ram's horn, meaning the horn that grows out of the head of the ram, right? This one's how long?
He
had to take a picture, put it in a spreadsheet, and right. Do something else with it. But then,
It's that long.
And how old is this one?
I'm not sure. I got it about 8 years ago on Fairfax.
Oh, okay. That's a lovely Jewish quarter. But there is the one long blast, the clear tone that is referred to in the Bible, and it is the tekiah, right?
Tekiah.
Did you give us the tekiah? It's an incredible call. It's an incredible sound. And God will refer to those in a few moments. Now, how about the broken sighing sounds, the three short calls, the shivarim?
Okay.
So you can hear there would be a difference in these calls, and we'll get into those in a moment. And then there's the alarm, that rapid series of nine short...
I'm sorry, that's what I just gave you. So I got them out of order.
Okay. Oh, okay, all right.
So you want...
How about the shivarim?
Okay.
Which is the three short calls, okay. Right? Now that would be a specific call for something. And now we go back to the teruah. Which is the alarm. Very good. He's good at the horn, isn't he? Thank you very much. We'll explain those now as we go through. What's interesting is that God says that he intends for these to be special sounds for us. Special sounds that would tell the children of Israel certain things to do. You know, in Jewish history, it's the blowing of this ram's horn that begins trumpets and then begins 10 days, as they say, of repentance until the Day of Atonement. I thought that was an interesting aside. But if you go to Numbers 29, what's interesting is God says here, all the things that shall be attendant to this day of trumpets, this day of blowing. And he says in 29:1, and you could read on through the whole chapter, he talks about in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You should do customary work, for it is the day of blowing of the trumpets, and you shall offer a burnt offering. And he explains all the things that should be done on this the seventh month, and the first day of that month. But what's interesting to me is go on to Psalms. Psalms 81. In Psalm 81, we see something in the midst. I think it's Asaph. Yes, Asaph. It says a psalm of Asaph. And notice 81 verse 1. It says, sing aloud to the God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song. Strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with a lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon, on our solemn feast day. Now here comes the incredible thing. For it is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph as a testimony when he went through the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not understand. Incredible. It's an incredible concept that God says the blowing of the trumpet is a part of his law. Why? This speaks to God's very methodology, that he will not do something unless he tells his people, he tells the world what's going to come. And we're supposed to understand that these sounds equal his intent and purpose and love and compassion, encouragement and strength to provide us energy and trust to the plan of God. He thinks this way. We see these little glimmers of why would he make it a law? Not just so, oh, fine, you have to get a ram's horn, somebody comes up and it's a ritual. No, God wants it to be a part of the law because it is to mean something to us. It's to connect us to him, and we'll see more about that. Now, here's a comment. A passing thought occurs as you look in verse 5. It says, he established it in Joseph as a testimony as he went throughout, it says, throughout the land of Egypt. I don't know about you, but I'm not sure a description of Joseph, he would think, oh, I just went through the land of Egypt. Joseph went out of the land of Egypt, his bones, right? He went in alive. He came out with his bones. They carried him back to the promised land. And many of us, right? It would be the same way through this physical life. God sums up some of these things. Joseph went through the land. God does not leave him there. God doesn't, isn't it a credible analogy? God's not leaving Joseph buried in the sands of Egypt. No, he's going to what? Resurrect him. He'll not leave us in the earth. We've already heard a few scriptures about that. Now, let's go on. Another scripture with respect to blowing of horns that's very encouraging is 1 Samuel 16. And we have to bring this connection in before we go further. 1 Samuel 16. It seems in passing a scripture we wouldn't give much heed to, but 1 Samuel 16, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And notice in verse 13, he said, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. And Samuel arose and went to Ramah. We must get the connection between the horn. God uses the horn for a sound to commemorate the holy days. And he also uses the horn, a short version, right, where you'd cut it off, you'd put an end on, and you could fill it with oil. And every time that oil is poured over somebody's head to consecrate them, to set them apart, to do something, you would get the connection back to God. Are we not to see this dual bond of God's Spirit coming upon somebody and the sounds from God? A dual bond, linkage of mourning, if you would. Here, Samuel said, God says to Saul, why are you mourning? Go on, do things. Why can we, in the midst of our mourning, go on and walk in this Christian life? Because we know there are sounds of God that equal the promises, and we've been touched by the anointing oil of his Spirit, right? God uses these vessels, two vessels, for two same vessels, if you would, for the two unique purposes, for consecration, for healing. How many times have you been anointed with that oil? You know, if we didn't use little glass vials and all these modern things, maybe we would have a better mental connection, wouldn't we? The Israelites of old had that connection when they saw that horn of oil come out, when they saw the ram's horn came out. These bonds that God was forming in their hearts and minds. And that's what we're trying to capture today. Now let's go on to Numbers. Numbers and discuss horns, trumpets. Now Numbers, you know, Numbers is an interesting book. In fact, in the Hebrew, it's not named Numbers. It really means the Hebrew word in the wilderness. This is what happened in the wilderness. Now, it came to be known as Numbers because there were two censuses taken, and so it became referred to by the Jewish tradition, Numbers, because it talks about all these numbers. But its book is about in the wilderness, which should remind us, Remind us of a connection that we, as the children of Israel, were in the wilderness. We're in this wilderness of Satan's world, of his control over it. And we shall see what? We shall see the passage of time, and we are looking on this day to coming out of that wilderness. It's an added encouragement, if you would, as we look at that. Now, here, let's go to verse 2. And the Lord, verse 1, spoke to Moses, saying, make me 2 silver trumpets this time. Metal trumpets, not ram's horns, as Dr. Hoover brought up, but silver trumpets for yourself. And you shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for the calling of the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. Now, what's interesting about these trumpets is this word here refers to conical trumpets. Now, this is once again, while it's very good to, you know, call upon technical expertise, because these are unlike the cylindrical types of horns that we find today. Most trumpets and trombones today are made out of tubular metal. That's cylindrical. These were conical trumpets. And Dr. Hoover has a lovely picture, actually several if you'd like to see them. You can find them on all kinds of historic monuments, because this is how horns, trumpets, were made in the ancient world. And I believe you see them on all kind of ancient monuments. One of them is the Titus's Arch in Rome. And so those who, I imagine Dr. Karlick has a copy as well, anybody who loves Italy, Dr. Hoover, they have these pictures. And you begin to look for these things in these ancient hieroglyphics. But it meant this metal instrument. Now, here, you know, we have the difference, of course, in a horn of this type other than the ram's horn that we just heard. And here's... See, it's a very metallic sound. Sorry, I didn't mean to surprise you, but the wonders of technology. See, now you're not asleep. Okay. So, but you can hear, the very name, okay, means clarion, okay? It has a different sound, and God intended for a different sound for his usages here. Now, let's read. It says down as we go to... And verse 3, and when they blow, both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then only the leaders, the heads of the division of Israel to come. So you could hear the difference between one horn and two horns. Now, I wanted to show an example. The call I just had was what, and I used on purpose a bugle as opposed to a trumpet, because I was trying to be more accurate as to the sound of a conical trumpet as the sound of, you know, a manor trumpet, you know, that you shall hear in other things. But now I've got another sound, which is a call to colors, because it says here, God says he will use both trumpets, right, to call the congregation. You know, now if you had this on your telephone message from, you know, the pastor Grider, you would see not just the caller ID, but if you heard this trumpet, you may come to the service, right? I mean, if you heard two of those trumpets, you go, okay, that means we're having church this week, okay? We're having the Feast of Trumpets, in fact. Now, brethren, the calling of the assembly of God. Now, if you'll hold your finger, let's go to Matthew 24 just a moment. Because what's interesting to me is God says in Matthew 24, verse 29... So we hold, he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And verse 31, and he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. You see, if we were called to a high day with the sound of the blowing of trumpets, we would get to our heart's core meaning when God says, I will not forget my elect in the four corners of the earth, because we know wherever we are, we will hear that sound and we will be called. That is an incredible promise. In the midst of all the darkness and of all the heavenly signs, God will not forget his elect, and he will call them with the sound of the trumpet, and you will hear and you will reply. What an incredible promise. You see this incredible meaning God intends to have, the comfort, the encouragement, the energy he wants to get us to get from the sounds of a trumpet. Now look in verse 8 of Numbers 10. It says, I'll begin in verse 7. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not the sound of advance. Meaning they talked about that in verses 5 and 6. When you hear this sound, the south side goes. And when this sound, the east side goes. Because they had somebody had to go first. You know what I mean? You can't just have the whole camp turn around and go. You know, you'd have chaos. Verse 8. And it says, and the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets. And these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. We should get the connection that it was the priest's job to blow the trumpet. You know what I mean? You didn't let anybody blow the trumpet. Not because of exclusivity, but because of organization. God wanted there to be linkage to him through his holy priesthood of who would blow the trumpet, who would sound not just the alarm, who would sound the call to come together. And we find that in our own churches, right? We have organization and structure for a purpose and for a reason. Now, Lotus, in verse, as we go on, look in verse 9. And when you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Saving from our enemies through the sound of a trumpet. God wants us to understand he will save us. God uses trumpets at the end time to talk about the war and the events of this world. But those trumpets are to remind you and me that God has not forgotten us on his holy days. He's not forgotten us on his Sabbaths. He's not forgotten us when we were baptized or when we were dead. And he will not forget us in the grave. He will gather us together. Now, read on. It says, also in the days of your gladness and your appointed feasts. Days of gladness. Now here's a lovely sound from the London Brass Symposium playing Gilliard's Baglia by Samuel Scheidt. I thought it was a great symbolism for gladness. God wanted us to blow these trumpets with gladness. Happy to me, don't you? Maybe we're glad because there's been a great harvest, right? A great reply to a broadcast, a baptism. God says, when you're glad, well, break out the trumpets. See, for the musicians among us, I had to let it finish. Okay, you just can't cut it off. But, you know, then he says here in verse 10, at the beginning of your months, you shall blow a trumpet. At your appointed feast days, the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. And they shall be a memorial, a remembrance for you before God. I am the Lord. Your God. Brethren, one of the greatest memorials that happens in our life and those around us are those solemn occasions when we bury the faithful in Christ. And I'm reminded of one of the greatest symbols of all times is taps. We in our country know this, and we have it played, do we not? I have one for us here. This recording of taps was played at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial on November the 7th of 2007. This was played by a trumpeter, a female from the president's own U.S. Marine Band. Well, we were buffering, so we won't do that one. But I have, sometimes there would be sad occasions, perhaps national ones, and this was a different version of Taps. More maybe of a national symbol as opposed to an individual symbol. Sounds can link us to moments in history, to places in our lives. God wants a connection with you and me. Brethren, I'd like to take you to a section of scripture that usually we associate with unleavened bread. But there are incredible parallels in this section of Joshua 6 because it talks about the sounds. The sounds of the trumpet of God. In Joshua 6, we know that the Israelites crossed the Jordan River. And it has long been tradition that in the course of the days of unleavened bread, they came upon the city of Jericho. And Jericho, the land of Canaan, was to represent sin and how God would conquer that sin. Joshua 6 says, in verse 1, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel, and none went out, and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. And already this day, in Mr. Grider's message this morning, we saw what? It is God's intended purpose to give us what? Says in the New Testament, keys to the kingdom of God. The future in God's mind is already as if it's done. And he said to hear the children of Israel, I'm going to give you this land where it seems sin reigns. I'm going to give you their king, their mighty men of valor. I'm going to give you all the territory. And that is what God says to mankind, and especially to the elect of God. You shall march on the city. Verse 3, and you shall march around the city, all your men of war, and you shall go all around it once. And then you shall do this for 6 days. And the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horn. So in this case, we're talking about the ram horn trumpets, not the metal trumpets. Before the ark, the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Brethren, these are the shofar trumpets. Many, about 68 places in the Old Testament, shofar is translated trumpet. So if you want to know whether it's metal or the other, you got to get out the concordance. You got to kind of figure. A lot of times, though, you can understand from the context what it is. Now, I have an incredible a few comments I'd like to make. There's a lovely reference for your notes in passing. What's it say in Joel 3:16? But the Lord will be the hope of his people, the strength of the children of Israel. Brethren, Israel was defenseless in the face of the Canaanites. Here they were to Jericho, this great walled city. They had no way to go over it. This wasn't the mighty Roman army that was going to throw the catapults and all the fire and all the cannons and things that we could see throughout history to break down the walls and to overcome the city. Brethren, we shall not take the spiritual kingdom of God and the future through any type of warfare of our own making. God, the analogy is clear from Joel. The Lord is the strength. The Lord God who can resurrect bones and put them back to life is our hope, is he not? Now, in verse 2, it says, see, I've given you this city. Now, there's a lovely parallel. If you'll use a marker, hold your fingers in Joshua, we're going to go to Revelation a couple places. Notice in chapter 8 of Revelation, verse 2, it says, and I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. The children of Israel, seven priests standing around in the desert, the flatlands around Jericho, with seven priests, the ark of God, the men of war, and seven trumpets. Why? It's the type. Here God says he gives out to his angels seven trumpets. Now verse 6. So the seven angels who had had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Did you notice how Dr. Hoover stopped? He paused. He put the mouth of the horn to his, and he had to think, was it 9 beats, 3 beats? How was I going to end this tune? There was planning, there was pre-thought. There is planning and pre-thought into how God will bring about the coming of his son to this world, just as there was thought and pre-thought into how God intended to have the children of Israel take Jericho. There was a plan, and this embedded in the sounds of the trumpet of God are his incredible mighty works, his planning. Now, also, go back to Revelation 8, verse 3. And then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. And he was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Brethren, God brings something very special to him, to this feast of trumpets in the future. Your prayers, my prayers, the prayers of our loved ones who lie in the grave, God has not forgotten them. And he will command that they be brought before his very throne with the incense for this very day. This very day which changes all of history. That's how important every small thing is to God. Nothing shall be left out of this day, including our prayers. Now, verse 3 of Joshua. And you shall march around that city, all you men of war, and you shall go all around the city once. This you shall do for 6 days. And verse 4. And the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. Seven priests, seven trumpets of ram's horns, 7 days and seven times. Do we think that God likes sevens? The world is ordered in them. 7 days in a week, seven cycles in a jubilee. God wants to be connected to us. He's not forgotten us. Notice Revelation 1, verse 10. It says, I was in the spirit of the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. And in Revelation, it's the clarion trumpet. It's the metal trumpet. We see this lovely analogy. here in Jericho, the days of unleavened bread, the use of the ram's horn. But in the final days, God uses the metal trumpets. Why? He has something intended to show us. Now, notice, go back to Revelation 8, verse 2. Revelation 8, 2, we see another concept about the sound. And I saw the seven angels who stand before him, and to them were given seven trumpets. These are the metal, silver trumpets. And I'll make a comment that as you go through, you shall see the sound of the angel. The sound of the angel, the word for sound is the sound of the trumpet, the sound of the metal trumpet. It doesn't say it in all the other references to the six angels throughout Revelation 8, but that is the meaning of the word, and you can look at that. Now, let's go back to Joshua 6, verse 8. And it says, so it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the ram's horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. And verse 9, and the armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpet, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priest continued blowing the trumpets. Now there's a whole sermon in this lovely word, Asaph. Asaph is the rear guard. In the Old King James, it says the rear reward. It's an incredible concept. And it has three incredible meanings that we should consider here. It means to gather on an individual or company basis. Gather those that are responsible for guarding the back. And an end also can mean to gather to one's fathers, which is what? To lay them to rest. And the third meaning is to gather for a harvest. This day brings all three meanings of rear guard to bear. Right? It has the calling of the live ones who are alive at the time, the gathering of those who have gone to the fathers, and what? The gathering of the great harvest of God to come. Great symbolism, all surrounding the blowing of these trumpets. Now, I find it interesting, and we read it a few moments ago, right? Bring up for our gathering of the elect in Matthew 24, verse 31. Now, let's go on in Joshua. Joshua 6, verse 10. Now, Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say, shout, and then you shall shout. Brethren, he didn't want just a rabble-rousing group of people marching around the city. God had a purpose. The eerie silence of these people saying nothing as they marched around the city. Notice what it says in Revelation 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about a half an hour. The connection. Now let's go back to Joshua. Joshua 6, verse 14. And the second day they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. And so they did this 6 days. It's 2010. Many of you have been keeping the Feast of Trumpets and every other holy day for decades. And some of you, your parents before you, and your grandparents before you. They did it 6 days. We shall keep keeping these holy days, these Sabbaths, as a reminder to stay connected to the God who has given us the miracle of understanding his purpose and plan. Mr. Grider was trying to get us excited about that this morning. Not just excited on the Day of Trumpets, but excited on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday mornings. We stayed up a little too late watching the ball game on Wednesday night. They did it 6 days. Brethren, I look around and I know over the years we've all seen thousands and thousands of people who've been called by the name of God. And many of them have died. True examples of faith that we should relish. That when we hear the sound of taps, we remember them fondly, because God will not forget them, nor will he forget us. Now, Verse 14, we just read here. 6 days, once around. Notice there are six seals of Revelation. Six angels of the first six trumpets to be blown in Revelation. You can see them in Revelation chapter 8 and 9. You can see this first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth angels. All what? Around this sound of a trumpet. When it says sound, I said it a moment ago, I'll repeat it, but it means that very sound which has reverberation in it. It's not a straight, clear sound. You can tell it's that blowing of that trumpet. Now, verse 15, it says, but it came to pass on the seventh day that they arose early about the dawning of the day, and they marched around the city seven times in the same manner. And on that day only they marched around the city seven times. The seventh day, what it means to us each week. The seven holy days, what they mean to us and every fiber of our being. Verse 20, let's skip down. And so the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets. And it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. When the people heard the sound of the trumpet. And the people shouted with a great shout that the walls fell down flat. When they heard that trumpet. When they heard that sound. You know, the sound that they would have heard then of the ram's horn would have been like this. Seven of those out there in the eerie silence where no one spoke. What's it say in Revelation 11, verse 15? It says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. The sound. The angel sounded. And what happened? The angel sounded because of what? Because of the one who could be regal and reign. Verse 20 of Joshua 6. What I want to, it says now here, it says, and when the people had heard that sound, they shouted with a great shout. A great shout. The sound of the trumpet, and then they shouted. What's it say in Revelation 19, verse 1? Revelation 19, 1. It says, and after these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. What's it say in verse 6? And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and the sound of the mighty thundering saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Why? I would submit to you this is the moment when we shall see our loved ones. When the dead in Christ rise, and those who are alive are changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. Will you be able to not say, Alleluia? The Lord God omnipotent reigns because he has done what everyone thinks is impossible? Is that not what will happen? I submit to you. It's scripture, I think. Gives us the latitude perhaps to say so. What will it say? What will we think? How about 2 Samuel for reference, 22:3. When David said, when God had put all of his enemies, including Saul, away, the God of my rock, he says, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation. He's my high tower. He's my refuge and my savior. You have saved me, O God, he said to God, David did. Now, what's incredible to me is this whole plan, and we will bring it here more to a close. Look at 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles, we see the blowing of more metal trumpets, but I can't leave this one out because of its great meaning for you and me. 2 Chronicles 5, in verse 12, it says, now, this is the dedication of the temple by Solomon. And notice what it says, verse 12. And the Levites who were the singers, and all of those of Asaph and Haman and Judith with their sons and their brethren, stood at the east end of the altar, clothed in white linen, having cymbals, stringed instruments, and harps. And then with them, 120 priests sounding with trumpets, metal, silver trumpets. Indeed, it came to pass, when the trumpeters and the singers were at one to make one sound to be heard in the praising and thanking of the Lord, when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music to praise the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud. And so that the priest could not even continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. The symbolism for us on this Feast of Trumpets, brethren, is at that appearing, at that day when the seventh trump shall sound, our God will not have forgotten us and forgotten loved ones in the grave. What will happen? He will fill his house. His house is our souls that he has given the Spirit of God to, and he will fill us. He will fill us one time, never to be removed again. God's Spirit entered that house at the sound of trumpets, and he will come back into our lives, those resurrected, never ever to be taken from them again. 1 Corinthians 15 is an incredible analogy of this moment. Let's read 1 Thessalonians 4:16. There are a few comments here that we did not yet get to make today. So let's make them on this, a Feast of Trumpets. Verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God," the trumpet of God, "and the dead in Christ will rise first." Brethren, the voice of the archangel, it says. What happens? You know, Joshua 6, verse 16, it references that Joshua said, "You don't shout until I say, shout." But what did he say? He didn't say, "Oh, shout." No, it quotes Joshua, and it says in verse 16, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city." The angel of the Lord will make a command, will it not? What if that command goes like this? "In the hallowed and holy name of the eternal living God, in the power given to his only begotten Son who paid for these lives with his own blood, it is hereby decreed that on the sound of the trumpet of God, all the fallen asleep will awake to everlasting life and shall come forth. The saints who are alive shall be changed in that moment to everlasting life. Hear now," the angel will say, "the trumpet of God, and live eternally." Is that what the angel may say? The trumpet will sound, it says here, and then there will be that shout. That is our shout, the angel's shouts, the sons of God, the loved ones, the friends, the family, the patriarchs of history. Will we, as the lovely Christian phrase in some of the pop music, say, "Dance for you, Jesus"? No, we're doing no dancing. Because we will be unable to contain our thought that we have been resurrected, we have been reunited, and that God is going to move forward with a plan that we saw rehearsed every Feast of Trumpets. We will shout hallelujah, surely. As it says in Revelation 19:6, "For the Lord God omnipotent reigns." And then the Lord, the King of Kings, will descend from heaven as we are shouting. Just as the children of Israel took the city when the walls had been laid down flat, the symbolism for us is that this armies of this world, Satan and all his powers, are nothing. Because when God sounds, everything is flattened, everything is laid waste, and Christ rules. He walks straight through. There will be no enemy that he cannot conquer. And we will be shouting, for we will be together. That's the plan of God. The pivotal moment of the sound of a trumpet, the sign of the assembling of the people of God, the journeys of Spirit-led lives with loved ones, we will be reunited with joy in our hearts and minds as we see those shining faces. we will be unable to contain ourselves because the day of judgment has begun. God's world will begin like never before. The beginning of the seventh month, the first day of the month, with seven angels, seven trumpets, and the shout. The hope of all mankind, brethren, is tied to the sound. The sound that will change everything on the Feast of Trumpets. The sound of the trumpet of God.